Welcome back to Dot in the Eye. I'm Ivy Donovan, and joining us this half hour of the program is writer and speaker Amy Lively. She has a degree in practical ministry and oversees communication to the congregation and the community at Life Church, Ohio. She joins us to talk about her book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. Thanks so much for joining me, Amy.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, first, I want to definitely touch on your testimony, hear all about the neighborhood cafe that you established in your home. But I think it's interesting, your personal testimony, you talk about how you didn't do a good job of meeting your neighbors and sometimes not even being a good Christian. What do you mean by that?
My parents, they did everything right raising me in a Christian home. However, I still chose to do almost everything wrong. And for a good chunk of my life, 20 years, I walked away from God. I still believed everything I had been taught. I still believed in the Bible. I still believed in God. I still believed in the moral values of the Bible. But I had no relationship with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it just played no role in my daily living. I wasn't living as a born-again believer in my own home or in my own neighborhood, so I didn't get part one right, love God, let alone part two, love your neighbors.
That's so interesting. There are so many people listening right now who are saying, that's my child or that's me. They can relate. Can we take just a minute?
Never stop praying.
Yes. I was going to say, can we take just a minute and you can tell us what made the difference? What turned it around for you after all those years?
No, there was no lightning bolt moment for me. There was no, instant revelation of this is what I needed to do. But it was, we had enrolled our daughter in a local Christian school because it was just the best school in our community, we felt. And I was hanging around these women and these teachers and these administrators and parents and even little students who truly were following hard after God. And I was just going to keep an eye on that Jesus stuff and just make sure it didn't get too crazy. But I had attended the church that sponsored the school when I was younger, and my parents were active there, so I knew a lot of the people there, and they kind of thought I knew me. They assumed, since I was there and my child was there and my family history was there, that I was living as a believer, and so they just lived their lives right in front of me, and then I faked it. I knew the vocabulary, and I knew the right things to say and what I shouldn't say, so I just faked it for a long time. After a couple of years of this, of just being friends with these women, I saw that their beliefs went beyond just an intellectual knowledge and really did affect the way they live, and I started to want that, and I started to want their Jesus. They were literally Jesus to me, and they didn't even know it because they, assumed that the lie I was showing them was the truth, and so I eventually got to where I wanted to be the person I was pretending to be around them, and just very gradually turned back to the Lord, started reading my Bible again, started going to church again, and pretty soon I was all in again.
What a neat testimony. And can you tell us what hearing loss played a part in this for you? You mentioned that.
I did. I had hearing loss in my early 30s, and I literally lost the hearing in my left ear. I was wearing a hearing aid and starting to really lose the hearing in my right ear. And I went to my audiologist one day for just a tune-up on my hearing aid, and they said, you know what? It's as high as it will go, where you're going to have to get one of the bigger models, the over-the-ear models. And, it just really shook me. And my hearing loss really paralleled my spiritual life because, it says in scriptures that they harden their hearts and they stop up their ears. And that's what I had done to the Lord for so long. I just said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And my physical symptoms mimicked what was happening in my heart, that I was not hearing from God. And it was about the same time that I returned to the Lord and I opened my spiritual ears that I was able to have just a very simple surgery called a stapedectomy that restored the hearing in my left ear. Just it replaces the little tiniest bone in the human body, and just what a difference it made. It was a real parallel for me. And thankfully, I was healed from the hearing loss, both physically and spiritually.
Oh, fantastic. Well, your book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird, look how far you've come. So now you've established this wonderful meeting and gathering place in your home called the Neighborhood Cafe. And it's neat how you write and open up the book with a simple truth that many of us nowadays, we just don't even know our neighbors. We can be living a good Christian life, but how many of us, I'm going to date myself, have it, well, it used to be my parents would invite the neighbors over. We'd be at the neighbors' homes. It was like they were all our parents. We'd vacation together. And for so many of us, we barely know who they are. And if we do, we're not in relationship with them. And that has to be the first start. I wonder why that is.
It's shocking, really, how in just one generation that has changed, that we've gone from, you know, outside to inside. We do our laundry inside. We play our games inside. We park inside. Everything we do inside. And the backyard and the fenced-in privacy fence has really replaced the front porch and the sidewalks. And I've lived in all kinds of neighborhoods, you know, that are designed differently, architecturally, geographically. Some are built for community. Others aren't. And then others just have a personality where they're more open or they're more closed off. The internet has, I don't think, really helped us stay connected, because we have this illusion of friendship on things like Facebook and Twitter, and we feel like we know what's happening in people's lives, and we would recognize them from their happy vacation pictures and their good hair days that they put out there, but we don't know what's happening behind the closed doors.
How you got started with the Neighborhood Cafe, you mentioned that you felt that Jesus was trapped in your house, in your own home, and that you needed to let him out.
And held hostage for ransom inside
right.
my house.
I love that analogy. Explain that to us, Jesus trapped in your house.
Well, when I did return to the Lord, I really was all in. I mean, any church that had a Bible study, I went, and I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, volunteering, and I really needed that. That was where I needed to be at that time. You know, when I was a teenager and I wanted acceptance and I was afraid of being rejected, I turned from God and went to the wrong crowd. And when I was an adult and I wanted acceptance and I feared rejection, I ran to my church crowd, and I stayed there because it was comfortable and people were nice and I was safe there. And, you know, for a time, as a new baby believer, I needed that nurturing place. But then after a while, it was kind of like God saying, you know, okay, honey, let's go. Let's open the door and step out, you know, away from the sanctuary into the real sanctuary in your home and on your streets. So I had just cloistered myself in my church world and was really afraid when I had that idea of, probably people living around me that I should probably start to get to know.
And I bet everyone listening is feeling the same thing. Those of us who are Christians and we attend a wonderful church and have our church friends, we, even more so today because of what the outside world is like, I feel like so many of us are hunkering down and just staying with what's comfortable and what we know, when there's the Great Commission and what we're called to do. And so you write how you were ready to do it, you wanted to do it, you were excited to do it, but then didn't quite know what to do in getting your neighbors over and how to approach them without being weird. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew that it was the command. I knew that it was, for me in my life, a specific revelation of go to these people living right around you. And I when it was just an idea and a concept and a commandment tucked in the pages of my Bible, it was okay and it was exciting and I thought it would be great to do it. But when it came right down to how do I go from this conviction about loving my neighbor to actually having a woman sitting across from me in my living room? I didn't know how to get there. I didn't know how to make that bridge. And so this is not brilliance here. This is not brain surgery. I just thought, well, I'll ask them to come over. So I didn't want to be weird in the sense of, I didn't just want to force my faith upon them. I truly did just want to be friends. I wanted to be gracious and welcoming and open to meeting all of my neighbors, whether or not they shared my faith or were ready to talk about that. I never hid the facts from them that I intended to start a neighborhood Bible study, but I began with something a lot more broad than that, of just an open house.
Oh, just an open house, like come over, let's meet one another and stay at my house.
Just have a cup of coffee. I host an open house twice a year now. I've had probably a dozen of them in my home over the years. But the first thing that I did was invited 89 neighbors neighbor for coffee. And wow. We have a big neighborhood. And when you invite a whole lot of people like that, and at that time I didn't make the time to knock and individually introduce myself. I could just kind of stuff the mailboxes the first time. And I had about 15 women come of the 89 that I invited. So it sounds like a big number, but it's the portion that are able to respond to you is much, much smaller. And then the portion that will continue to come back to a Bible study is even smaller than that. So don't let the big numbers be intimidating. This also works just as well when you walk to one person's home and say hi. This scares an introvert to death. And so the book is not just about how to start a neighborhood cafe women's Bible study. It's really much bigger than that, about just how to start these relationships and take those very first steps.
And Amy, how many of those 15 did you know or know of?
Maybe two.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe two. I found that I told you the first time I went, I just kind of tucked the invitation onto the mailbox or at the front door. I was going more for quantity than quality at that time. In the years since, I have taken the time to knock and introduce myself and try to start a conversation with the people around me. And most of them, you will find, or I have found, are very gracious, very excited, very touched that you would want to just stop and say hello. And I say, my name is Amy. I live right there. I'm so sorry I don't know you. I'm trying to be a better neighbor. And they say, I would like to know my neighbors too. I think that would be great.
We're talking with author Amy Lively and her book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. We've really just gotten started. We heard a great testimony from you, Amy. And when we come back, we'll take a quick break on Dot in the I. It's a wonderful book with readable short chapters that give specific ideas on exactly how to do this, getting to know your neighbors. So we'll delve into that when we come back right after this break.